hell or high water, I'm on my way to Rome. If you're ready for revival, praise like you believe it, worship like you believe it, pray like you believe it, live like you believe it, think like you believe it, serve like you believe it. You and your house, number two, are anointed for the storm. There it is. The storm does not define you. The storm reveals who you really are. Wow. All right, Paul, you're going to Rome.
Woo. Gracias, Señor.
Going to Rome. Never gave him the specifics of. Paul, you're going to Rome. So all of a sudden, he's on the way to Rome. You would think that he's going to Rome on a Norwegian cruise line. Royal Caribbean. Celebrity X, Carnival. And for all the bougie people, Viking cruises.
No. He's going to Rome on a prison ship. Didn't get that in the memo. Yeah, all right. He's on his way to Rome. He's on his way to Rome on a prison ship, and all of a sudden, Acts 27, a nor'easter, a storm hits. And that storm begins to just batter the ship, slapping it around like a cheap piñata. That's slightly racist, sorry about that. Like a, just slapping it around like something, all right? So he's being battered, and
this is what the Bible says. I'm gonna read it. The ship was caught by the storm. So we gave way to it to be driven by the storm. They preferred to be driven by the storm. And as a result, the Bible says, verse 18, they were violently battered. So what drives you? We are all driven people. We are either driven by the past or the future, by the pathetic or the prophetic, by problems or promises, by nightmares or dreams, by the flesh or the spirit, by Google searches or godly searches. We're either driven by drama or by destiny, by trauma or by testimony. So what drives you? Are you driven by the praise of others? Are you driven by criticism? Here it is as it pertains to the opinions regarding you by others. If their praise did not make you, their criticism cannot break you. We have too many Christians that spend more time reacting to what comes from hell rather than what comes from heaven. We have too many believers driven by the winds of cancel culture, ideologies, and social constructs that are counterintuitive to the Word and the Spirit of Almighty God. Too many Christians driven by opinions and feelings instead of being driven by truth and love. What drives you? Are you driven? What drives? Oh boy, here we go. Full disclosure. Hi, Padre, ayúdanos aquí por favor. I kind of lived a portion of this message last year, and Pastor Robert is totally up to par with this because he was part of this conversation. So last year, I get a call, right before last year, or I get a call, but last year came to fruition. But I got a call, Pastor Sam, wrapping up a 2022. Pastor Sam, a ministry I'm going to be very, because of ethical parameters, liability disclaimers, and insurance policies, I'm going to be as nuanced and whimsical as possible. I get a call, and the call was from a very prominent ministry in California, very prominent. And the call was, Pastor Sam, we did not, in essence, we did not survive COVID. And we've lost 1,500 people. We have a $25 million of debt. Our property is, as you well know, a large property. It has three sanctuaries, a 3,000-seater, a 1,018-seater, and a 300-seater, 40-plus acres, et cetera, et cetera. It has a school. Pastor Sam, would you consider coming in, merging, and taking over the ministry? And so I went like, wow, because our church in California, we pastor by the grace of God a very multi-ethnically diverse church. It's Caucasian, which means white. It's African-American, which means black. And then there's Asian, Native Americans, Latinos, and people that don't check any of the boxes. Because they don't want to. So it's beautiful. It looks like the kingdom, but we grew, and God gave us a great harvest post-COVID to such a degree the county came in, true story, county came in and gave us and said, you've exceeded your maximum capacity. Y'all gonna have to make some decisions here. So we were like, this is an answer prayer. All right, so we met, we had our initial meetings, our due diligence. So I met with the leadership and so forth. We had conversations. And about right after five conversations, we get the call. Pastor Sam, let's formalize this. I want you to come in with members of your board. We will be here with our board members. Let's sign an MOU. Let's proceed with the execution of this merger.
Wow. I'm going, this is it.
So we met. They never told me the questions. We met right beforehand, an hour beforehand. And George, my assistant, his wife is part of our board. She was there. And so we met beforehand. We went to a coffee shop whose name I will not mention. Is the one with Jezebel in the cup. So, but anyway, so we... So we met. It was pretty convenient. We met. Guys, what are you going to ask? All right, Pastor Sam, you're going to ask questions about fiduciary governance. You're going to ask about integration of systems, probably attrition on their side and what we do. And All right. Process, 1 year. Get that. All right, line up. They're probably going to ask about whether or not you're going to have a Spanish service, Slavic service, et cetera, et cetera. Got that. Love, risk management, liability. Got it. All right. Are we ready? Let's go. We left that place. We left Jesse in the cup, and we crossed the street, and we came over, and we approached. We watched the meeting. I'm there, and my board members are there, and we sat down here, and I sat down. I'm ready. I'm going, good. They never gave me a heads up. What were the questions? And this, just like this, this is we have witnesses on both sides to substantiate this, not embellished for the purpose of getting you to go, ooh, no, this is exactly how it happened. I sit down. We're here. They're there, right across the table, and Pastor Sam, thank you for coming with your board. Well, we want to begin with the following question. I'm going, yes, go ahead. And I'm wired, I'm caffeinated, very caffeinated. So go, all right, boom. Prayed up, no joke. We had our prayer team, our intercessors interceding. We're ready to do this. And here was the question. Pastor Sam, we want to begin with this first question. First question. Pastor Sam, our church, we lean left. We want to know, where do you lean? This is my response. Because, so help me, first of all, you got to put this in perspective. By the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:10, I know my assignment on this planet and as a preacher and producer and all that we do, but I'm a comedian. The first thing that came to my mind was not a prophetic enclosure, it was not a thus saith the Lord, it was, Sam, you have enough material here for the next 5 to 10 years, man. You're good, buddy. But this really happened. I looked up and nothing would come out of my mouth, which is both a sign and a wonder. And this, my face, I just couldn't, nothing, and this is me. I went. We lean left, where do you lean? And I'm fighting with the Holy Spirit. I am. Because I'm fighting with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is telling me, Sammy, say it. And I'm going like, no quiero. No. Sam, say it. Because if I would say what the Lord is telling me to say, I'm going to lose that building, which I did. He said, say it. So I went like, no. And the Lord said, Sammy, Holy Spirit versus Sam, Holy Spirit always wins. So I finally looked up, and my team was looking at me like, you're not saying anything. Like, you know. So I finally looked up. Well, we lean left. Where do you lean? And I went like this. I went, thank you for your question. With great due deference at our church, we don't lean. We stand. We stand. We stand on the word of God. We stand on the promises of God. We stand on the finished work of Christ. Whatever the Bible calls holy, we call holy. Whatever the Bible calls sin, we call sin. We don't need Christians and churches that lead one way or another. We need a church to rise up in America that will stand. Somebody shout if you're standing for him. Stand. Lift up your hands. 1 Corinthians 16:13, I feel the Lord. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith. I'm calling right now this first conference to the entire church in America and around the world. Stop leaning, start standing. Stop leaning, start standing. It's time for the church to stop leaning, start standing. Stand up for biblical. biblical truth. Stand up for righteousness and justice. And I'm going to get in trouble again. Stand up for our children. Stand up for holy sexuality. Stand up for the family. Stand up for godliness. Stand up for life. Stand up for religious liberty. Stand up for biblical justice. Stand up for racial unity. Stand up for the gospel. And don't get offended. Do not just stand in the church. Stand up in the school board meeting. Stand up in the voting booth.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking Give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
Lift up your hands if you're standing. You are standing. Ephesians 6:13, put on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. With your hand raised, permit me to declare we're about to see your church rise up. Not one driven by political correctness, comfortability, lukewarmness, or apathy, but one driven by the Father, driven by the Son, driven by the Holy Spirit, a church that stands. Oh, I sense the Lord. We're gonna see a church rise up, families rise up that no longer lean but stand. We have to stand. We can't compromise. We have to stand. We have to stand. Oh, I sense God. Stand, you are standing with me. I was gonna ask you to stand, but you are standing. Stand with me. Let me land this right here with this final. As you stand. They're battered, Pastor Robert. The ship is battered. You're gonna lose the ship. The word of the Lord hits the apostle. Acts 27, beautiful. One of the most amazing words you could possibly receive from heaven. Let me parenthetically contextualize it for our modern time. Hey, Paul, here's the word. Speak to me, God. Give me the word about this circumstance. Here it is. Paul, what a word, right? Like if you get this kind of word, you go like, what just? Paul, here's the word. You see that ship you're in? Yes. Yeah. You see that ship you're in? Yeah. In the middle of the storm, you see that ship you're in? Yeah. That ship will not make it. Who gives you that word? What? But the comma is powerful. The ship will not make it, but you will. Oh, I sense the Lord. For the next minute and 30 seconds, I want to speak to everyone that lost the ship, but you're still here. There are things that didn't make it in your life. There are relationships. There are ideas. There are seasons. There are even people. But even without that income, without that door, you're still here. You lost followers, but not your faith. You lost connections, but not the calling. You may even have lost your mind, but not your mantle. Hebrews 10:23, he is faithful to keep his promise. Isaiah 43:13, from eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch away anything from my hand. No one can undo what I've already done. Philippians 3:8, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. Yeah, even without that ship. So please, and I know we've all been through processes and moments and seasons where we lost something, but please stop saying, look what the devil did, and start shouting, look what the Lord has done. With or without that ship, you're still gonna make it to Rome. Let me call you out here for a second. We'll just pray over you and your house. By the way, a little side note, hey Paul, not only are you gonna make it, read it, but everyone in the ship will make it too. Does anybody here come in agreement that we're about to see our family saved? How many believe here, Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you and your household will be saved? Anybody here ready to declare this new year, Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house? If you believe everyone in your ship by faith will make it, give him the best praise you've given him in 2024 thus far. That's it. Let me pray over you. The thing fell apart. The ship fell apart, literally. This should be a movie. It really should be a movie. It falls apart. They hold on to pieces of the broken ship to get to the shoreline. Read it. Some people had the ability to swim and make it. Some had to hold on to broken pieces of the ship that fell apart. Because God does great things with broken pieces. Because the purpose of God is always greater than the brokenness of man. You know what I've discovered? That a wounded worshiper is still a worshiper. A broken praise is still a praise. And this will get the Pharisees upset. A prodigal son is still a son, and a prodigal daughter is still a daughter. With your hands raised, 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. God does great things with broken pieces. If it's broken, God can fix it. If it's empty, God can fill it. If it failed, God can restore it. If it's sin, God can forgive it. If it's wrong, God can make it right. If it's crooked, God can make it straight. If it fell, God can pick it up. If it's paralyzed, God can make it move. And if it died, God can resurrect it for his glory. And that's the story on how he got to Malta. Are there any questions? Made it, broken piece of God. I'm cold. Let me just, here it is, heat this thing up. Let me get some brushwood. In the brushwood was a snake. When the snake made contact with the what? The fire. It jumped out. It did its thing. Because snakes hate fire. Show me a church filled with holy fire, and I will show you a snake-free zone. Show me a house filled with holy fire, and I will show you a snake-free zone. Show me a marriage and a relationship and a company filled with holy fire, and I will show you a snake-free zone. Matthew 3:11, Holy Spirit and fire. Acts 2:3. I have given you authority to walk over all snakes and scorpions, Luke 10:19. You will be able to destroy all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. In 2024, your prayer regarding the snakes that come, the things that jump out for the purpose of poisoning and strangling, your integrity and destiny, here's the word. Your prayer will stop them. Your praise will confuse them. Your peace will paralyze them. Your integrity will disarm him. And your resistance will make him flee. So everybody, do me a favor. This is the way we're going to kick off this year. Grab a hold of it right there. Of whatever vestige of darkness, whatever attempt of the enemy, you're going to shake off every single construct, every attempt of the enemy, anxiety, fear, depression, shame, condemnation, perpetual victimization, complacency, apathy, unbelief, unforgiveness, rejection, closed doors, negativity, toxic atmospheres, you're about to shake it off. So when I say now, I know it seems a little bit, you know, but no, there's power. Just, you're gonna shake it off in the name of Jesus. Throw it into the fire, because you and your house this year, you're gonna make it to your spiritual realm where the gospel of Jesus will shine through your testimony. And this year, more people will come to Christ as Lord and Savior through your testimony than all of your previous years combined. So here it is, ready, grab a hold of it. Some of you should be using both hands, because it's not a garden snake. Some of you have dealt with, like, yeah, boas, and here it is. Are you ready? When I count to three, I want you to shake off everything that in the past attempted to poison and strangle your God-ordained purpose and destiny. You're about to shake it off, not just on your behalf, but on behalf of your family, your children, and your children's children. Do it right now. By the time you get home, no more vipers, no more snakes. Here we go. Ready? At the count of three, shake it off and give God the biggest "I'm on my way to Rome" praise you've ever given him. One, tell your neighbor, give me some room. I need to shake some things off here. Two, ready? Because we don't lean, we stand. One, two, three, shake it off. Somebody give God your biggest praise. There is an anointing born out of adversity that empowers you to change the world. Raise your right hand. If you receive that anointing today, raise your right hand really high. If you receive it and you really receive it, raise both hands. Repeat after me. My faith will move mountains. Under this anointing, through the finished work of Christ, my shout will bring down walls. My family will be saved. My life will be light. My prayers will be answered. My harvest will be great. My walk will be righteous. My testimony will touch others. My words will heal. My praise will deliver. My morning will become dancing. And all of my actions, all of my words, all of my thoughts will declare, look what the Lord has done. I'm on my way to Rome. I'm on my way to Rome. Come hell or high water, I'm on my way to Rome. If you got this word, raise your hand. And that's how Paul, oh, that little trip to Rome, was it significant? That's why we're here. That Rome, that's when the gospel went viral. It went global. Because of that trip, to a great degree, yeah. And the same area the snake attacked was the same thing that God used to heal in that island of Malta. So if the enemy's been attacking it, God's about to use it. We're never going to make it to Rome unless we permit God to use the very areas that have been attacked in our lives to heal those around us. We're on our way to Rome. Heavenly Father, there is a church, a community, a family called Gateway, and those connected all around the world. Come hell or high water, we as a church collectively, we're on our way to Rome. We're about to see the gospel reach more people than ever before in human history. More people will be saved, delivered, and healed, and transformed by the power of Jesus than ever before in human history. We're on our way to Rome. Thank you that we are anointed, anointed for greater things, anointed to stand, not to lean, to be driven by your purpose, your passion, and your promise. Anointed to make it even without the ships in our lives. We're still gonna make it. Anointed to see your glory because you do great things with broken pieces. Anointed to shake things off. Anointed for Rome. We give you the glory. We give you the glory. This is the year that each and every one of us in our respective houses will shine for the glory of Christ like never before. En el nombre poderoso de Jesús, may the strength of the Father, the grace of the Son, the anointing of the Holy Spirit make this year the year you and your casa, you and your familia make it to Rome. Hey, Gateway, let's do one thing together. Just one thing. For the glory of Christ, are you ready? Let's go change the world. God bless you and God keep you. Let's do this.
Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle. Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary. The promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed. It's so filled with God's power and spirit. It will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ, your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving two copies, one copy, three copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.